Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a sensitive subject. One that, let's put it this way, ladies in my office like to talk all around, give me the hint of what they're trying to get at, but never actually say the word. So the title of this episode is The Secret to Happiness is a Healthy Vagina. Now, that might sound kind of silly, but chronic vaginal infections, chronic vaginitis, so inflammation in the vaginal area, is more common than you think. And in fact, a lot of people don't talk about it. One, because maybe they're embarrassed. They think that having a yeast infection is dirty. They think that having bacterial vaginosis is dirty. But guess what? Our health of our vagina, for ladies, is really related to our health of our whole body. And if your vagina's not happy, you're not happy. I'm sure I don't need to explain that to you. But your diet can affect your vaginal health. Hormone balances, that can be a really biggie for vaginal health. And you don't have to be in menopause to have issues with hormone imbalances. In fact, you could be experiencing hormone imbalances 10 years before you actually go into menopause. And being perimenopausal can happen even 10 years before that. So you could be looking at having hormone imbalances as early as your mid to late 20s and really not even going into perimenopause until your late 30s. That's something to think about, ladies, because I think a lot of people blow off chronic yeast infections, chronic bacterial infections in the vaginal area as being, oh, you know, I just can't seem to get that area in check. I'm dirty. I'm this, I'm that. Need to clean more. And so ladies will end up doing a lot of damage by using harsh chemical-based soaps and douches and different types of washes. And unfortunately, that actually strips your vaginal tissue and that whole area of the good bacteria that needs. In fact, your vaginal microbiome is mostly made up of lactobacillus species of beneficial bacteria. And if you've done any look into beneficial bacteria, you'll find that lactobacillus are the bacteria that live in your gut too. But one thing you might not know is that lactobacillus bacteria are super sensitive. They die real easy. And if there's any imbalance going on in that vaginal area, those lactobacillus can get thrown off so easy. Now, how do they get thrown off? Well, by the pH, so the acidic level that is in your vagina. The ideal pH between 3.8 and 4.5 is actually where you want to be keeping your vagina. Now, how do you know if it's in that? Well, you can buy test strips and actually test it. I've actually never done that, but I have had patients who've done it, and there are strips you can buy right in the pharmacy next to all of the bladder infection supplies and yeast infection supplies. They're right there, and you can try it. They're little strips that change color, and you can match the color up to what the pH is of your vagina. It's kind of cool. And that way you can know where are things at. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about lifestyle factors that can mess with our pH of our vagina, because I think a lot of people have no clue how habits such as using antibacterial soaps, douches, scented washes, you know, Bath and Body Works, their products smell really great, but they're not so good for you. They can cause some serious issues. And in fact, you could be sensitive to the fragrances that are in those particular products. Same thing goes along the lines for tampons. Tampons have fragrances in some cases. They also have a lot of chemicals that are used in the processing to create a tampon. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit because there was a women's group that actually did a research study on what is in the most common tampons. And I was kind of disturbed because, you know, sometimes you gotta use a tampon. It's easier, you know, I mean, having a pad is like having a diaper. It's not the easiest thing. Now, there are other options out there. I'm gonna talk about that too. But the one big thing that I want folks to think about, other than even the chemicals in the tampons, is that the blood that you have coming from your body has a different pH than your vaginal pH. And so each time you get your period, you can kind of change what's happening in terms of the good bugs and what's happening in terms of bad bugs. So the balance of your bugs in your vaginal area. Now, if you don't get your period anymore, there's other hormonal changes that can be fluxing and changing your pH. But combined, still getting a period and having hormonal changes, the time before menopause for a lot of ladies is almost worse than actual menopause. And this is why, if there's any guys listening to this, love on your ladies. This stuff is hard for us. And sometimes it's really hard for us to talk about, because if our discharge, so fluid that comes out of our vaginal area, changes on us, it freaks us out a lot. And sometimes we feel dirty and don't want to talk about it with you. But nevertheless, the pH of blood is 7.35 to 7.45. That's a lot higher, so more basic, than the pH of the vagina, which is 3.8 to 4.5. So every time someone gets their period, if they also have hormonal changes, they also have imbalances in the gut microbiome and their vaginal microbiome, we got a lot of stuff going on there. Now, another biggie is, how long do you wear your tampons? Really, it's recommended to change tampons every 4 hours. And I'll be honest, I'm so guilty of going over that, because let's face it, life gets busy and sometimes you just can't, you know, keep up with that. But the longer that your vaginal area is exposed to a higher pH because of that blood, the more that you can have imbalances. So something to think about there. Kind of gross, yes, but I think these are things that someone needs to talk about. And let's face it, I talk about it with patients in my office, but I find so often that people are like, no one ever mentioned that. I didn't really think of that. So here we are. Same thing goes with pads too, because the same material that's used in tampons is used in pads. It just happens to be on the outside of your body. But having that pad there can cause issues in terms of moisture buildup, depending on what kind of environment you're in, things of that nature. So am I saying don't use tampons and pads and figure something else out? Well, kind of. There are female cups, menstrual discs, things of that nature, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, and how those are a lot better for the pH of your vagina. And so if you're having troubles such as vaginal irritation, chronic discharge, those might be something to think about. Now let's talk a little bit about tampons and toxins. So a research study was done by a particular group. Hold on, let me look down on the bottom. I forget the exact name of the group. Where are they? Oh, there we are. So Women's Voices, and they do a lot of research studies on females' health and whatnot, and women's health. And I find it really interesting that they looked at Tampax Pearl, Playtex Sport Scented, and Kotex tampons, the three most popular ones out there, really, as far as I can tell when I ask patients what I use, things of that nature. Now, there's something called carbon disulfide, which is a chemical that's used in the production of rayon, which is one of the ingredients in the tampon. Now, rayon is one thing, but when it has carbon disulfide used in the production of it, it has an increased risk of menstrual disorders, early menopause, and hormonal disturbances. Okay, so we have a lot of people in the United States going into menopause early, commonly. Now, a lot of people ask me, what's the average age of menopause? Well, I'm seeing people going into it as early as their 30s, and some people go into it in their 50s. So anywhere between 35 and 50 plus is a possibility. But how many ladies out there have hormonal disturbances, meaning PMS, PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, where folks get really depressed, really suicidal before periods. You get extreme wild mood swings, things of that nature, but also migraines. And missed periods, so not getting a period every month. These things could be as a result of chemicals. Now, toluene and xylene are also found in tampons, as well as methylene chloride. And methylene chloride is a paint stripper, which is like, why would I want to be putting that in my vagina? Whew. Super, super scary. And even methylene chloride's been linked to 50 plus deaths since 1980. Now, it's not a lot of deaths, but that's enough to make someone think about it, at least. Now, none of these chemicals have to be disclosed by manufacturers because tampons are considered a medical device. And so that sucks because we don't even know what we're putting into our body, what could be changing our pH, what could be changing our happiness, our ability to have sex and not have pain, our ability to not have weird periods, our ability to not have crazy hormones, all could be because of some chemicals. So something to think about. Now, another comment about tampons is that if the cotton tampon's not organic, you can also have some glyphosate issues, meaning Roundup issues going on with that GMO, so genetically modified cotton, because cotton's one of the most genetically modified products out there or plants out there. And really, they're treated heavily with Roundup, and the seeds are manufactured to be, or I guess you could say genetically engineered to be resistant to Roundup, so that these cotton fields can be doused with Roundup and the cotton plants still live and all the weeds die. And then you put it in your vagina. One other thing about our tampons is that fragrance. Now they smell nice. Maybe it's helping you mentally think that it's going to smell better. You won't have that blood smell of the period. Lovely. And, you know, maybe you're gravitating towards those type of tampons, but that fragrance, those synthetic fragrances can often contain phthalates, and phthalates are known to disrupt your hormones and mess with your endocrine system. And it definitely causes imbalances in your vaginal pH. And so this can set you up for infection. Even though you're thinking, okay, I'm going to have a nicely scented tampon that's going to hide that icky odor that comes with my period. Well, now what you're doing is setting yourself up for having a fishy odor that goes with bacterial vaginosis. Awesome. So, what else changes the pH of your vagina? Condoms can definitely mess with your pH if you have spermicide on them. Because spermicide, it will make your pH a little bit higher, so more basic. So can sperm. So sperm is about 7 on the pH scale. Remember, blood is somewhere in that range too. And so it's very similar. So if you're trying to get pregnant and that sperm's going in there quite often, or say you're on birth control or whatnot and you've got a solid partner and that sperm's kind of hanging out in that vagina for a while, it could be contributing to some of your pH balance issues. So if you've got chronic vaginitis, so that meaning inflammation of the vagina or chronic discharge, might want to have your partner not put the sperm in the vagina. Maybe try some other fun stuff. All right. So another biggie that I've already mentioned before is hormone changes. And I think a lot of people want to know, like, okay, well, what hormone messes with my pH in my vagina? Well, estrogen is the biggie. And as estrogen decreases as we get older and we head towards menopause or we're in perimenopause, your pH of your vagina will slowly start to become less acidic. And so the normal pH of the vagina being 3.8 to 4.5, we start to creep up in the 5 level. On average, 5.3 is the pH of someone who is in menopause. What ends up happening is we're set up for getting more infections. What I see in my office, commonly I will have ladies who are perimenopausal, so maybe they haven't stopped their period yet. And by the way, to be in a menopause officially, you have to have not had a period for a year, and your labs have to come back that you are officially in menopause. So doctors have to test hormones, but also look at something called FSH, follicle stimulating hormone. So those are the things that can help confirm if you're in menopause. Now, if you're perimenopausal, meaning that your hormones are fluxing a little bit, possibly your estrogen is dropping, this is when you might be coming into your doc's office or you might be thinking, you know, gosh, why do I keep getting yeast infections? Or why do I keep getting bladder infections? That is one thing to know. Chronic bladder infections aren't always an issue with the bladder. Sometimes it's an issue with what's going on in the vagina and if your vaginal microbiome is healthy. One of the biggest issues I see as women get older is something called vaginal atrophy. And this is the shrinking or shriveling of the tissue in the vaginal area, which may sound really horrible. And in fact, I mean, it can get pretty severe. And a lot of ladies don't like to talk about this. And in particular, they don't like to talk about it with their partners. And this is something that's hugely important. Because like I said at the beginning of the podcast, the secret to a happy life is a happy vagina. And why do I say that? It's because if you can't talk with your partners about what's going on down below, and you can't talk to your doc, you're embarrassed, or you're scared to go in and find out what's really wrong, you could be messing with a lot of different emotions. Let's put it this way. Sex is a very emotional event. And if you're not able to perform, a lot of times there's fights, there's anger, there's often, I mean, if I look at it, I feel like with having unhappy vaginas, a lot of people probably end up in divorce. Honest to goodness. So saving relationships, get that vagina healthy. So vaginal atrophy is a loss of the tissue strength. And what often happens is it's a loss of estradiol and the hormone estriol. Estriol is our weakest estrogen, but it helps to make a lot of that lubrication be on point and keep that vaginal tissue nice and healthy. Vitamin D can also help. And hyaluronic acid. So now this might be sounding crazy. We think of hyaluronic acid for plumping and keeping moisture in our skin on our face. Guess what? The skin on your vaginal area too is the same kind of skin. It has different adaptations, but it's the same kind of skin. It just happens to be in a different place. And so there are compounding pharmacies that can help make creams that have vitamin D in them, that have estriol, which is your beneficial hormone for your vagina, and estradiol too. You could even get oxytocin. And if you don't know what oxytocin is, it is the love hormone. And so it can literally give you a happy vagina. Sign me up. So there are functional medicine docs and naturopathic doctors who focus on hormonal balancing that can get these prescriptions made up for you. And typically they're creams or they're suppositories. You can choose which type of way you want to go with it. But boy, they can make a huge difference. I've seen quite a few ladies come into my office really embarrassed to talk about what's happening in their vagina, talking about, you know, not being able to have sex with their husband because the tissue just hurts so bad. It just feels like sandpaper every time they try to have sex. And now the husband is withdrawing and she's withdrawing from him and they're talking about divorce. And like, as soon as we get them that cream, things start to turn around. So if anyone out there right now is struggling with dryness in the vaginal area, not getting enough lubrication, and maybe you're buying lubricants, maybe you're using olive oil, maybe you're using whatever oil, coconut oil you have, you know, that's great in the moment, but it's really worth it to look and see what's going on with your body. Now, another really common condition that I think is overlooked really often in the medical world is something called vulvodynia. This is pain or discomfort in the area around the vagina. It can be like burning and rawness in the genital area. And pain can be constant. It can be occasional. It can last for months or years. Then it can like go away just as soon as it vanishes. But a lot of times, it can last and last and last. And oh my goodness, this is one of those things that, yes, can ruin relationships, can really be debilitating because this pain, these women sometimes have trouble sitting for long periods. They have trouble even wearing clothes and having underwear on. Now, sometimes in the beginning of this, we can head it off as doctors, if we can recognize that we've got some ladies that are victims of fashion, let's just put it that way. So I'll see the lady come in the office. She's got a thong on. Not that I can have x-ray vision. That made me sound like a total creeper. But let's put it this way. She's got tight pants on, so tight jeans on. And then, you know, she's got the thong on underneath the tight jeans. And what's happening? We've got a lot of friction there. And just by the way she walks, I can tell that there's a lot of friction going on in there. Why do we ladies do that to ourselves? The high heels, the tight pants, and the freaking ridiculous butt floss underwear. I don't know. But it is one of the causes of vulvodynia. And if we can get that area to breathe a little, go commando for a while, sometimes ladies can turn around and not have the pain that they once did. So if you're out there and you're wearing your thongs and they're kind of rubbing a little bit and you got tight pants or like you've got a pair of pants that you wear with a certain pair of underwear and you know they rub, ladies, I'm talking to you because you know there's a lot of ladies out there. I will say that I even have been in that situation where I had those one pair of jeans that were just so cute, but I had to wear them with a certain pair of thongs because I didn't want that underwear line to be showing. But they did rub. Like the next day, I'd kind of feel like something wasn't right down there. Does that happen to you? If it has, you could set yourself up for some serious vulvodynia, and you do not want that. So something to think about. Now, there are creams, like I had mentioned before, just like for the vaginal atrophy situations, there's also creams that can help the irritated skin from rubbing, friction, just in general. There's a pain reliever called low-dose naltrexone that can be compounded into a suppository or cream. You can compound lidocaine, which is a topical pain reliever, and you can even do CBD oil these days. We're in a universe of pretty much, like, if you can think of it, we can maybe compound it, which I love, absolutely love. And in the case of chronic vulvular pain, so vulvodynia, a lot of times it's related to yeast infections. And it also can be related to eating too high of oxalate diets. So what is an oxalate? It is a particular molecule that can cause pain in the body. It can cause pain in the joints, the muscles, but also the vaginal area. And let me give you a list of the foods highest in oxalates. So red currant, Concord grapes, tangerines, figs, plums, wheat, quinoa, peanuts, pecans, almonds, cashews, poppy seeds, and anything with excess vitamin C. So even taking a supplement that has higher amounts of vitamin C. These can actually make your vaginal pain or vulvodynia, if you have that exact diagnosis, worse. And so I have people really watching how many of these foods that they get in a day. Also having folks double check if they've got yeast infections, get that treated too. And in the case of psoriasis, that goes along too with having vulvodynia and vulvar pain. So if you got psoriasis and you've got vaginal pain, ooh, it's time to get working on you. You want to get some help because things can get a lot worse. I've seen some of these really chronic cases of vulvodynia and it's sad. A lot of these women have lost relationships. They really isolate and have trouble even talking about the pain that they experience because a lot of docs tell them it's all in their head. It's not in your head. You likely have a couple things happening. Maybe you're a fashion victim, as I'll call it, or maybe it's that you've got some imbalances with hormones and possibly chronic yeast infections happening in your vaginal area, or chronic bacterial, same kind of thing. Granted, yeast and bacteria are different things, but same kind of issue in terms of a chronic infection. I don't know how many ladies that I see in my office in general that have chronic yeast infections. In fact, in terms of data, 5 to 8% of females have chronic yeast infections, and that means like greater than four yeast infections a year, but they just won't ever officially go away. The yeast infections just hang on. And the same thing goes for bacterial vaginosis. In fact, bacterial vaginosis, so this is overgrowth of bacteria in the vaginal area, is the most common vaginal infection amongst women 15 to 44 years of age. And sometimes 29% of these ladies don't even have symptoms of the actual infection. So there's no watery discharge. There's no fishy smell. It's not itching. There's just pain with sex. Could be a bacterial vaginosis. And ladies, you are not dirty if you have chronic yeast infections or chronic bacterial infections. Do not be embarrassed of this. This is a sign that there's just an imbalance. That's it. Don't freak out. Don't panic. Now, the other big thing is, what's the difference between bacterial vaginosis and yeast infections? So bacterial vaginosis has more of a watery, grayish, fishy smell. It doesn't smell too good, of a discharge. Whereas a yeast infection is more of a white, cottage, cheesy, thicker kind of discharge that may smell kind of yeasty, kind of like you're baking some bread down there. But sometimes it doesn't have a smell. And sometimes with ladies with chronic yeast infections, it can be more of a watery white discharge. Now, some people will confuse normal cervical fluid for a yeast infection. And the thing you want to be thinking about is that your cervical fluid fluxes throughout the month. And cervical fluid, when it gets to be more of a thicker discharge and it's whiter, it's like an egg white consistency. Yeast is not like that at all. So keep that in mind. I think it's really important for every lady to really get familiar with what's going on in their vaginal area and know the changes in the discharge and the changes too in the vaginal area in terms of what happens throughout the month. If there's more pain at a certain time of the month than another time, then you can track it to be like, okay, is my estrogen supposed to be higher at this point? Is my progesterone? What's happening? And like I said before, estrogen is highly tied to vaginal issues. So if you're having dryness, you're just not getting the lubrication that you used to. It's not that you're not into your partner. It could be very well that you're losing estrogen. So don't blame it on your partner. Don't get thinking in your head that you're not into that person. First, go check out your hormone levels. Now, another big thing that can lead to chronic pain and issues in the vaginal area is chlamydia and gonorrhea. Now, those types of sexually transmitted infections can, you know, linger for a long time. So this is why it's really important. If you've got some vaginal issues going on, don't be afraid to go get tested. Who cares? It's much more important to know what's going on down there and have a happy vagina versus one that's lingering with issues. Now, what's kind of cool with this day and age is if you're embarrassed to go to the doc, you're just like, no, I am not going. I don't want to go. You can go online. There is a website called Ubiome. And this company, Ubiome, has a kit called the Smart Jane Kit. And you can test your own vaginal flora and figure out what kind of bacteria and yeast and whatnot's going on in there, which is pretty darn cool. We live in a very advanced world. Because I remember back when I was a teenager and was getting vaginal yeast infections, because that's my history, I was finding that I had to talk to my mom about it. And at like 14, 15 years old, God, that's embarrassing. And then, you know, compound some years and God, you get older and, you know, it's hard to talk about what's going on with your vagina. A lot of ladies are really, really embarrassed. And, you know, I get it, but don't be. It's part of your health and happiness. You want your hormones balanced. You want your vagina healthy and happy so that you're not messing with, you know, breaking up your relationship for no need, thinking about things you don't need to be thinking about. You know, happy relationships, happy vaginas. So I talked a little bit about getting the test strips. They're called feminine pH test strips, by the way. You can get those in any pharmacy. So that's another way to be able to know what's going on in your vaginal area. If you're like, okay, I know I don't have any infections. I've had that tested. You know, I'm going to my doctor getting checked up. But, you know, I want to know what my pH is up to. I think it's valid to go get those strips and test it out throughout the month and see what's going on. And look at the difference in the pH between when you have your period, if you still get your period, and what's happening mid-cycle, so ovulation time, and what's happening before the period. It's really interesting to look and see, because a lot of ladies that I have in my practice that test their pH balance, they're finding that there's some pretty wild fluxes in pH. Also, what's really interesting is if you have a day where you went out and you had a bunch of candy and sweets and treats and then test the pH of your vaginal area, sometimes that changes and goes quite high. So diet, sugar, eating a lot of carbs and breads can make a really big difference in vaginal pH. So something to think about. Now, going down the lines of feminine hygiene and things of that nature, I heard about an article from the UK. And I had to find it because someone was telling me something about your underwear should be thrown out once a year. And I'm like, oh my God, if your underwear is supposed to be thrown out once a year, I'm so guilty of not doing that. And what they were saying is that your washing machine doesn't wipe out your bacteria as effectively as it should. And it said that 83% of clean underwear already contains roughly 10,000 living bacteria. What? That's nuts. And this article is all about how your washing machine doesn't clean things as effectively as it should. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, that's a lot of bacteria that live straight up on your underwear. And I went to thinking about it a little bit and remembered, you know, kind of what I was told when I was going to school last year about chronic yeast infections. You need to wash your underwear in hot water and dry it in the dryer because that helps to kill bacteria and yeast in particular. And so I was like, oh, maybe these people aren't washing in hot water. And I went back to the study, I couldn't tell. Now, if you look at any average individual's washing habits, usually cold water is what we wash in because it's an energy saving cycle. So keep in mind that perhaps you should be washing all your underwear in hot water and drying it in the dryer, not on a line. And I know that's not very green, but shoot, I'd rather be making sure I'm not recontaminating myself every single time that I put my underwear on. Which makes for another case of going commando. Now, in the same case though, what about your jeans? How much bacteria is hanging out in your jeans or your pants? I don't know. I just found this a really interesting article in terms of hygiene for underwear. So there you have it, just a random little tidbit in terms of making it really important to watch what you do when you clean your underwear for that matter. Plus, I mean, one of the things that I do find that is quite common is that folks who wear thongs on the regular, let's face it, those thongs kind of slide back and forth throughout the day. And what touches your butt can go around to the front, to the vagina, and bring some E. coli over there. And I think that's one of the reasons why younger females might end up with more bladder infections the more that they wear thongs and things of that nature. So make sure those thongs are getting cleaned no matter what in hot water and hot, dry heat to dry them. So you can kind of rule out that as being one of the big issues. Now, I've went through discharge and I've talked about pain in terms of what can be happening in the vagina. Now, there is one more pain condition that's known as clitorodynia, which is pain in the clitoris. And this can be really, really debilitating because your clitoris is containing lots of nerve endings. It's like the tip of the penis. It is super sensitive. Normally, you're supposed to feel pleasure when the clitoris is stimulated, which a lot of you might be out there like, duh. But a lot of women experience chronic pain or irritation when their clitoris is stimulated. And this can really hinder people in the sexual activity department, but also can be quite an issue because of its location, because clothes might rub on it. When you're sitting, things might rub, and this tender throbbing pain can really, really be debilitating. And so folks in this department also can benefit from some of the pain-relieving creams and compounded creams that are out there, but also help with hormonal balancing as well. Acupuncture, by the way, is a huge help in this case because sometimes folks will note that the pain, chronic pain in the vaginal area, chronic pain in the clitoral area is related to a pudendal nerve, so a nerve that can be inflamed too. Now, another big thing out there that in addition to acupuncture for helping with pain in this area, which, by the way, the acupuncturist, because I am an acupuncturist and I do see people with chronic pelvic pain and vulvodynia and clitorodynia, I do not needle into the vaginal area. I do not needle the clitoris. Just so you know, I think a lot of people might be thinking like, I wonder how that works. So nope, no needling there. But definitely other areas of the body that can be extremely helpful, especially in the area of the sacrum. The sacral nerves come around and go to the pelvic area and can help with relieving pain. The pudendal nerve is also coming around in that low sacrum area too, and more towards the coccyx region. But anyway, acupuncture is not going to be in your vagina, just so you know. Now, another big help in the vaginal pain area is pelvic floor physical therapy. In fact, I believe pelvic floor physical therapy has been a lifesaver for a lot of my patients with chronic pelvic floor pain. There is one doc out there on the internet. Her name is Dr. Brianne Grogan. She's a doctor of physical therapy, and her website's Femme Fusion Fitness. She has great tutorials and YouTube videos in terms of how to help manage pelvic pain. So if you're suffering with chronic vulvodynia or pelvic pain of any type, check out femfusionfitness.com. Dr. Grogan is amazing. Her website is loaded with resources that can help you with exercises to help work on your pain. She's also got a book called Lady Bits. It's a great book that just really kind of helps you understand why you have chronic pain and if your pelvic floor muscles are part of the picture here. So in this case with this podcast, of course, I was kind of talking about internal balance, but also muscular balance can be extremely helpful as well. Now, earlier I had mentioned an alternative to using tampons and pads. And what I was talking about is something called menstrual discs. Now, a couple years ago, menstrual cups were all the rage. But menstrual discs are kind of more of the mainstream thing these days, if you will, and a lot less toxic, in fact, non-toxic for your body. They're made of a type of silicone that is non-toxic and can form to your vaginal area and hold period blood versus having to keep changing out tampons and pads that can change your pH. And so the device that I like that is the menstrual disc is from a company called The Flex Company. And they have a great resource online at flexfits.com that describes menstrual discs versus cups, but also frequently asked questions about menstrual discs. I'll be honest, I haven't tried these yet. I tried the cup. It was a nightmare. Let's just put it this way. I think I'm just not bright enough to figure out how to put that cup in and keep it in the right place. But the menstrual discs are really cool. And according to the company, you can even have sex with them and nothing leaks out, which is pretty interesting. And also to me means, oh, but if you can hold the blood in there, maybe you're not getting the blood in the vaginal area and it's not messing with the pH of your vagina. What? That's cool. So, you know, part of this podcast was to be able to talk a little bit about vaginal issues that are common and that I do see and that people are so scared to talk about. They talk all around like, I have something going on down there. I'm not really sure. I have some pain. And now I'm not really sure what to do about that pain. What should I do? My partner thinks that I don't like him or her. What should I do about this? So there's a lot of emotional stuff tied up in what happens with our balance of our pH and our vaginal health. And I think it's really important to talk openly with your partners and your doctors about what's going on and let us help you. Because like I said before, the secret to a happy life is a happy vagina. So, ladies, it's time to open up, talk to your docs about it, get some information, figure out what's going on down there, and put things in check. It's not that hard. There are a ton of options, especially with all these great hormone balancing creams, in addition to pain relieving creams and boosting of lubrication creams. I mean, we've got some great stuff out there that can really help you. So I've got some resources from the show today at drjkrausnd.com. I have everything on the Flex Company for the menstrual discs. I have links to Dr. Brian Grogan's book, Lady Bits, and her website, femfusionfitness.com. Also, if you're interested in doing testing on your own, Ubiome's Smart Jane, got the link to that as well, because you can totally skip over having to see the doc if you're like, nope, just not going to do it. That's fine. There's resources to go get your own help. Also put a link to my favorite cotton underwear, organic, by the way. It's called Pact, P-A-C-T. It's often sold at Whole Foods, but I've got the link here so that you can check it out, just to help with having good, healthy underwear. If you've had your underwear for a while, maybe it's time to swap it out. You know, based on that research study from the UK, swapping out the underwear once a year. Hey, you know, what the heck? You have some cute underwear. So check out Pact. Now, also, I've got a little information from the National Vulvodynia Association. So for anyone who's wondering, like, do I have a pain condition in my vaginal area? Hey, check this out. And then by all means, talk with your doctor about this. There are so many things that can be done. You do not have to be hiding. You do not have to be avoiding sex. And, you know, you can have a healthy sex life. It's just a matter of figuring out what's going on and what you need to do to fix it. Because I think it's sad for many relationships that break up when folks just can't talk about what's going on down below and not get things balanced out down below. So there you have it. I've got all my resources online here at drjkrausnd.com. I hope that this sheds some light on what's going on in the vaginal area, but also I'm hoping for anyone who's listening to this that maybe you don't have issues per se, or maybe you've had issues here and there, but you know someone who does, have them listen to this podcast, because I want folks to know that issues with the vagina are not dirty issues. They're issues that your body is telling you something's out of balance. It's out of balance. That's all it is. It needs to be put back in balance. And you can do it. There are many ways to do it. There's a lot of naturopathic doctors and functional medicine doctors who are out there who work in hormone balancing. And they're easy to find. You just got to go online and look for them. And look in your area. Please don't spend any more time avoiding your partners and avoiding sex and struggling with trying to figure out what's wrong with your vagina and using random creams and other things that aren't getting you results. Go talk to somebody about it so that you really can live your life to the fullest and enjoy your life to the fullest. Okay, everybody, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.